Turn in your Bible this morning to the scripture text, Psalm 34. Before we read God's word, let's go to Him in prayer, asking that He would bless it for our good. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank You that You have revealed Yourself to us in Your word. Thank You that Your word is truth. Now we pray that You would sanctify us, make us different by Thy truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, if you are able, please stand out of reverence for God's word as we read Psalm 34. Let us hear God's holy word. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. You may be seated. We thank the Lord for the four missionary families that have been with us this weekend, the Smiths, the Brocks, the Hills, and the Pizzutis. Indeed, they are wonderful examples of God's choices as missionaries, ambassadors, His spokesmen to the world, God making His appeal through them. But this morning, God's word is for us. God's message is for you. His message is that you are called to be His ambassadors. So you are called to be His spokesman. To you He has entrusted the very word of God and has called you to be those who cry out to a lost world, taste and see that the Lord is good. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:20 that therefore we are ambassadors of Christ, God making His appeal through us. Who are the us? Corinthians, the nobodies of the world? Not just the pathetic few followers of David. Who are the us where He says, exalt the name of the Lord with us? Not just a few pathetic followers who had gone with Him after this fiasco and Psalm 34 gives us the context of David pretending to be crazy this time before the king of Achish, fleeing to the cave of Adullam. But rather it's for us too, all who are in Christ. Yes, the authoritative word of God is calling you on behalf of the sovereign Lord with a powerful message, the good news of Jesus Christ, to appeal to a people wherever you are. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, your response may be, though I'm sure you're too nice to say it, but you're probably thinking it, Pastor, you're crazy. Thank you for sharing that. You're in good company. They thought David was crazy. David with that beard, spittle coming down that beard. David acting crazy, being driven away. We're in good company. In Acts chapter 26, after 2 years of being in prison, the Apostle Paul before King Agrippa and the governor Festus was accused of being crazy. They said, "Paul, you're crazy if you think we're going to believe this message. Paul, you're out of your mind." That's a shouted at him. Why? Because he appealed to them to believe in the Lord Jesus. God has called you Christian, even though your life may be crazy or seem that way. You may be in crazy places, or they may seem that way, or the times may be crazy, or the message entrusted to you may seem foolish or crazy. Indeed, it does to those who are perishing. But God is making His appeal through you, just like our missionaries that we call. I had a layover in the Phoenix airport a few months ago on my way back from Utah. I had a few hours to kill, so I thought I'd do something crazy. Sounded good at the time. I'd combined lunch and dinner. Real fine restaurant. Ordered a great big plate of barbecue, Western barbecue. And I enjoyed that so much that I thought I'd continue the crazy self-gluttony by ordering a great big gluttonous decadent dessert. And I was there by myself, enjoying myself, reading my book. And just as my wonderful bread pudding with the wonderful ice cream on top with my coffee was served, a gentleman, a businessman, sat down right next to me. The table was practically right next to my shoulder. And as he sat down, the server served him a great big glass of beer and two shots of whiskey. And I did the foolish thing by engaging him in conversation. All I said was, "Hi, how are you?" That's all. Pretty innocent. And he said, "Not so good. My life's falling apart." "I'm sorry. Where are you going?" Trying to change the subject. "Going to Des Moines, Iowa." "Oh, what do you do there?" "I'm an engineer with Facebook." And I started eating my dessert, but immediately put it down when he said, "I'm an engineer with Facebook and I hate Facebook. They destroy relationships. They destroy marriages. And they destroyed my marriage. I'm coming back from Tahoe, which was supposed to be the greatest weekend of my life. And I found out the things my wife was doing and saying on Facebook. And I told her when I left, I didn't want to see her again." He said to me, why do people do these things?" Forgot about the desserts and talked about human nature and about God and His justice and about the Lord Jesus Christ, God's provision and the good news that indeed we can't change ourselves, but He can. And then he asked me to pray with him and he received Christ. His name is Justin. And then he asked me to pray for his wife and family, his marriage. And then I looked at my watch and had to run for the airplane. I didn't get my dessert and coffee, but he didn't get his whiskey and beer. Sound like good change. Exchange. Crazy. Let's look at God's call to you. You are called to be God's messenger. Again, God making His appeal through us. 2 Corinthians 5:20. This is God's authoritative word. This is not something we think is a thing that would be a nice thing for our church to consider. In Psalm 34, verse 3, David says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together." Not just in kingly palaces, not just among the kings and priests and prophets, but the ordinary people, even though those very extraordinarily ordinary people that were with him in that cave of Adullam. We're told in Romans chapter 10 about this mission How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. How are your feet? We usually say this is great encouragement for our preachers, our missionaries. But it's for you. Let's exalt His name together. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus, before He ascends into heaven, He says, "And you receive the promised Holy Spirit power. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." And who's He talking to? Just apostles? Is He talking just to people who lived, who saw Him then, or to us? Or to ordinary people like us? Well, in Acts chapter 8, it says that the great persecution broke out in the church. And then it says everybody was scattered except the apostles. And then in verse 4, it says, "Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word." Everybody but the apostles, everybody but the preachers, everybody, as they were scattered, were preaching the good news. The non-preachers were proclaiming the good news. You are called to be God's messengers. You say, don't we pay the pastor to do that? You know, the difference between a preacher, a minister, and a layman. Right? Preacher, they get paid to be good. Layman, they're good for nothing. There is no difference. All are called to be messengers. God making His appeal through us. I know we got excuses. We're busy. We're too busy with our raising our family. We're too busy starting our businesses. We're too busy with our health problems, and we go on and on and on, but we're always going to be too busy. We have excuses. Evangelism Explosion that was started by Dr. D. James Kennedy talked about his excuses, or his excuse. He dismissed most people's, but he said he had a valid one. He had a terrible back problem. A great big yellow stripe went down the center of his back and connected to his mouth, prohibiting from making appeal to anybody, let alone people who needed to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Excuses. They are many, but that's what they are. God has called you to be a messenger. In verse 4, it says, "I sought the Lord and He answered me, delivered me from all my fears." That this is something that He has delivered us. If you are delivered, if you are one that has indeed looked to Him and are radiant, that you are to shine, that you indeed are to give away that which you have been given. But the question is, what would I say? Well, you are called to proclaim God's message. You are not to make up something. You are not to invent something that will be palatable to the taste of your ears. Remember, the gospel, the word of the cross, the message of the cross was foolishness. It was a stumbling block, but we have a message entrusted to us. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. Paul says, this poor soul, poor man cried out to the Lord. Paul said in Acts chapter 17, he says that therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Entrusting this message to us. Many of us grew up in churches. Many of us attended faithfully, but never heard the message of the cross. I was 20 years old. Didn't seem that young at the time, but I had already made a complete mess of my life. It didn't take long. I dropped out of college. I dropped out of all the relationships that I had. And then to kind of be the icing on the cake, I got this letter from the President of the United States. Yes, Richard Milhouse Nixon. I was drafted into the United States Army. I'd won the lottery. And so there I was in the summer of 1970. Sure, I was going to go to Vietnam and die, and I was scared to death. By the way, neither of those things happened. I was trembling and didn't know what I was going to do. But when I walked into that entrance at the induction station in Coral Gables, Florida, there was an elderly man there with a great big box, and he was passing out little books. I didn't know what it was at the time. It turned out to be a New Testament. I put it in my pocket, and I began reading it that night when I got to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and the message of the cross that I found in that book changed my life. You see, it's not us. It's Him. David says, my soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. You know, when we do evangelism explosion training, we ask two diagnostic questions. And the second diagnostic question goes like this. Suppose you were to die tonight and you were to stand before God, and He were to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What do you think He would say? The vast majority, maybe 98% of people tell us, they would say to God, I was a good person. I tried to live a good life. I'm a good husband. I'm good. I. They're trusting themselves. They don't have a clue about the gospel, about the message of the cross. It's all about them. Apostle Paul said in Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of Christ Jesus, my Lord. We take it for granted that people understand and know because we get them in the church. I remember the first church I was planting, and we were having evangelism explosion training. And one of my first trainees, the wife of one of our elders, the choir director, Sunday school teacher, been in church all her life, came in after the second or third week, and she was in tears, and she said before the class, the training, I got to share. And she said, it hit me. And we said, what hit you? The gospel. All these years, I've been trying to be good enough, trying to be pleasing to God, trying to do as much in the church, serve as many people. I was trusting in myself. Now, for the first time, I'm free, realizing that Jesus paid for my sins on the cross. The message of the cross entrusted to us, the message of reconciliation. Indeed, what about you? Is that the message you heard? You understand? Can you say, I make my boast in the Lord all day long? My trust is in Him and Him alone. And if you have this good news, are we not responsible to take that to someone's in particular, entrusted to us to be His ambassadors, not in some figurative, ceremonial kind of way that we can be honored, but in the lives of particular people. You are called to be God's messengers, ambassadors, called to go to God's particular mission field. Acts 1:8, you receive the Spirit of God. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Maybe you never thought it's possible somebody like you could go to the uttermost parts of the world, but you never know. But guess what? There are people every single day. There are places every single day. Your mission field. We in Evangelical Explosion talk about our friends. It's not a misprint. It's not friends. It's Franz. The F stands for friends. Who are those people that you've known a long time that are special to you? Relationships. It's hard. Siblings, parents, even your own children. Acquaintances. People you see almost every day and you get in your coffee or you work out with or at work or wherever. Neighbors right next door, but you never talk to them. Or strangers. That's hard because some are stranger than others, right? But you know what? Jesus came in this world to save sinners. Jesus came in the world for the hard cases. And 2 Corinthians 2:14 through 17, he says, "You are the aroma of Christ." And Jesus says, "You are the salt and the light of the world." That we were told in Psalm 34, who look to Him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. That people that look at us, that interact with us, ought to see that there is a difference because Christ is in us. And we ought to open our mouths and share with them this message. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is he who takes refuge in Him. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, we have what's oftentimes called the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. But where, Lord, do you want me to go? To whom? That beginning of the commission, go and make disciples, could be translated, as you are going. In fact, make disciples is the only imperative. As you are going, where are you going? In Acts chapter 8, we see Philip, as he's going out in the desert, the Holy Spirit says, go to this one, go to that one. Maybe the Lord will direct you by His gracious Spirit and providence. Go to this one or that one. Back in early December, I was flying back from Houston. I had to stop for a layover in Dallas. Airports can be dangerous. And I had a layover there. And I went to the gift shop to find a really nice gift for my wife. I've been away, you know, and a lot of things neglected. So, you know, it's a token of my love and appreciation for her. It was a nice gift shop and had nice things, and I was looking at these really nice bracelets and necklaces and things like that. And this lady who works there, a young lady, came up to me and said, "Can I help?" And she got these things out of the case and showed me, and I picked a really nice one and nice bracelet. And then she looked at me and said, "Is this for your wife?" I said, "Yes, it is." And then she said, "Do you love her?" I said, "Yes, I do." And then she said, "How long have you been married to her?" I said, "It's been over 43 years. And she said, almost with a sense of shock, "I've never known anybody that's loved their wife more than 2 or 3 years. How can this be?" And I told her about Jesus the night before we were married, how we and the preacher got down on our knees and we asked Christ to take control of our lives and our marriage and bless it and stay the head of that home, and he has. Her name was Marion. She had only been in the country for a year. She comes from Egypt. Her parents sent her when the persecution broke out, and she asked me more, and I shared with her and gave her a track. I got a text from her just a few weeks ago. "I'm trusting in the Good Shepherd Jesus." By the way, I got a text from Justin, the Facebook guy, a few weeks ago too, and he says, "I'm doing what you're saying. I'm trusting in Jesus and seeking to love my wife." Praise God. But some appeals can't wait. Louis and I were out visiting door to door not too long ago, and we came across a man who was very patient and listened to our presentation, and he says, "You know, it sounds really good, but," I said, "But what?" He says, "I'm not ready." And I said, and maybe I shouldn't say things like this, but I said, "Do me a favor. Don't die before you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Taste and see if the Lord is good." Notice the order that is here. If you wait till you can see it, taste and see. You gotta appropriate Christ in your life. And may you see the glories of His grace and mercy. God has given the PCA a motto. And it's a great motto. Faithful to the Scriptures, true to the Reformed faith, obedient to the great commission of Jesus Christ. And that would be a great motto for this church. But mottos are okay if they are more than just symbolic, but are practice. Pray to God that more and more this fulfillment of the great commission would be our practice, not just our saying, and that we would proclaim His death until He comes, not just when we partake of the Lord's Supper, but throughout our lives. God bless you, missionaries. Thank you for coming and spurring us on. And thank you for giving us a wide vision of this world to people that we too can pray for and enter into that expectation of them receiving the gospel. But may God make us in practice His ambassadors, making His appeal through us, through you and me. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give You thanks and praise for Your patience with us, but forgive us for presuming upon that patience. So oftentimes, Lord, we are silent. So oftentimes, Lord, we even deny You by that silence or our actions. We pray, Lord, that You would help us be faithful, but not just in an obligatory way, but gladly rejoicing. May the love of Christ control us. May our heart's desire be seeing Your message heralded throughout the whole earth. For Your glory, we pray this in Jesus' name.